I love to praise his name. Good morning to everyone in the sanctuary, good morning to those online. Let's get to the word this morning, amen. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And read it from the New King James Version Bible. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Amen. The word of God is blessed. You may have your seats. Amen. And for the few moments that are before me, I want to talk from this subject. Don't get caught slipping.
My Lord, my Lord.
Don't get caught slipping. Father, I thank you for this time and opportunity in which you have given me to share your word. I pray now, Lord, that you empower me, that you anoint me, that you continue to grace me for such a time as this. God, I pray that as I stand behind the sacred pulpit to deliver the word that you gave unto me, God, that first of all is pleasing unto you and is edifying unto your people. God, I pray that this word will not return to you void, but that it will accomplish all that you set out for it to do, God, for we know that there is healing associated to this house. There is deliverance associated to this house. There is deliverance associated to this word, oh God. There is breakthrough associated to this word. There is conviction associated to this word. There is encouragement associated to this word, God. So whatever you sent this word to do, we say, Father, in this moment of time, have your way and do everything that you designed and desire to do for your word on this day and this hour for your people. God, we submit ourselves. Holy Spirit, we say, have your way. Consecrate us even now, oh God. Consecrate me now that none of my issues, none of my thoughts, none of my problems will permeate my mind. The enemy won't be able to distract me, oh God. But in this moment, your word will go forth with power and persuasion, oh God, that I will be a worthy vessel. God, I thank you in advance for the change that you're going to do in me and in your people because of your word, oh God, because of your word, oh God, and because of your anointing, oh God. I thank you that you are even giving us a moment to recognize we need to prepare. So God, open our hearts, open our minds, that we can receive the impartation of this word, and that we will leave this building better than what we came. God, I say, do it even now in the name of Jesus. Do it now, God, in the name of Jesus. Let your glory fall now, God, in the name of Jesus. Let your power fall now, God, in the name of Jesus. Let the healing fall now, God, in the name of Jesus. Let the breakthrough come now, God, in the name of Jesus. Let the deliverance come now, God, in the name of Jesus. We say permeate this place because we need you like never before. We need you, God, like never before. We need never before. So we say, do it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. On the list as to why people call for roadside service. This may seem like an understandable situation a generation ago when gas gauges were not entirely accurate and when all the warning lights of our day were non-existent. But now we have warning messages that our fuel is running low, giving us perhaps an hour or more of driving. And then additional progressively urgent warnings indicating just how many estimated miles of driving we have left. One must say that most people who run out of fuel are without excuse. Why then do we do it just as often today as people did years ago when they had the resources to prevent it from happening? Church, why is it that we find ourselves in places of despair as the children of God, in places where we seem to be caught off guard when God has shifted things in our atmosphere? Why is it that we have seemingly come into a place where the church is just as confused as the world? Why? When the Lord has given us warning, when the Lord has urgently been pressing upon his people, when the Lord has given us example after example in his word, when the Lord has spoken through his prophets, when the Lord has spoken through the unction of his Holy Spirit, why do we get to places in our lives where we seem to be out of oil, out of gas, out of passion, out of power, out of wisdom, out of clarity, out of direction, when God himself has provided the resources?
Watch yourself.
Here in this text, we find Jesus teaching in the synagogue after having made his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Here it is, he has entered the temple of God. He got mad so much that he turned over the tables because they had made the temple of Demetrius. They were in there selling stuff and doing stuff they had no business doing in the temple. He drove out those misusing God's temple for their own gain. And reminded them that his house will be called the house of prayer. He went to the temple that has been restored now. Watch this, for what God had intended it to be. The blind and the lame came into the temple and he healed them. Now, Minister Josh, this ain't really a part of the sermon because technically I'm back in chapter 22. Y'all know I like to walk through the verses, but as I was studying, the Lord was like, Lord, I need you to put a pin right there as you go through the historical text, because some people keep asking, God, how come we don't see miracles no more? How come we don't see the manifestation of your power, your glory in your house? And I just believe, Brother Matt, in this season, God is saying, I'm coming through to sweep and clean out my houses. Because not everybody that has come into the house has come with the purest intention of doing the work of the God. Some of us, I'm going to say us because we are a collective body. Some of us have slipped into the temple and we're selling stuff and we're doing stuff and we're going places and we're allowing things that God did not intend for his house to be. And God is saying in the season, stop asking me why am I not moving miracles, why I'm not healing people. I can't do anything pure in a dirty place. And he's about to come through, thank you, Holy Spirit, and cleanse his temple. He's about to come through and kick out the false prophets. He's about to come in and kick out those that's prostituting his word. Jesus, you know, going through the text again, he was in the temple, he kicked them out, he left the temple, you know, he curses the fig leaves, and he finds himself going to the Mount of Olives. Watch this. I'm gonna get to the text in a second, but it says, Jesus, when you read through 22 through 25, Jesus continues his teaching, all the while having his authenticity and his authority questioned by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mm. Let me say that again.
Please.
Jesus continues his teaching all the while having his authenticity and authority questioned by the Pharisees and Sadducees. Let me help somebody out. There is a time when you're doing the work of the Lord, and the very same people who are supposed to be accepting what you're doing for the Lord will be the very ones denouncing you. The very religious. Let me just look down, because I don't want nobody to ever say, why she looking at me? Why she? I'm not saying anybody in here or online, but what I'm saying is stop getting bent out of shape when you show up to church and people got questions and people don't think you called to do what you called to do, or you find yourself in religious circles and they try to push you out and they try to question your authenticity. They try to question the authority. Listen, this is what I love about Jesus. He never even answered their questions.
He ain't
answered their questions. Because he understood that their incessant questions were meant to try to invalidate him.
Yes.
Stop asking why they treat you like that. They're trying to invalidate you, boo. It's okay. Let them talk. Let them ask questions. But keep doing the work.
Right.
Here's what I love. They asked him, well, who authority you came in? So he said, well, who authority did John come in? I'm paraphrasing.
Okay.
And they do enough.
Okay.
Let me tell you, the religious know enough what not to say. Because when you go back, I think it's in 23 or 22, they reason with themselves. Well, we know the people love John, so if you say John wasn't from God, they might stone us. They knew enough of what not to say. But Jesus didn't answer them to tell them who authority he came in, which this is how stuck the religious were. He actually told that parable teaching them what will happen to the supposed righteous that reject him.
Come on now.
He tells them, those that appear to be righteous, but ain't really righteous, don't really have a heart of the Lord, they got the title, but they got the wrong motives. They got the title, but they ain't got no anointing. They got the title, but they don't have the heart of God. They got the title, but they don't have a heart for the people.
Right.
They're going to get destroyed. That's what Jesus tells them.
Yeah.
I'm just going through the text real quick.
Oh my God.
He then leaves the temple after telling them about themselves. He goes to the Mount of Olives, where he begins to go into a series of parables of teachings that predict what's to come.
Yeah.
With teaching on the signs of the time, the great tribulations, and several parables of his second coming. I don't want to stop right here before I go into the rest of my message. I want us to make sure that we are clear in its full context of this scripture. Jesus is specifically talking about his second coming, when he's going to come back for those that believe in him. He is warning them that it's going to come suddenly, and you have to be prepared before he comes back. But on this morning, as in any other text, there are applicable principles that we can take from the text to help us live and go through the journey of life while we are here on earth. So my sermon is not necessarily to dive into the particulars of his coming, but the particulars of what we can learn and a lesson from the wise and the foolish virgins. Amen.
Yes.
Let me get to my first point real quick. My first point is this. A delayed response to your expectation from God doesn't justify a lack of proper preparation.
Wow. Oh, say it again.
short will, a delayed response to your expectation from God doesn't justify a lack of proper preparation. Jewish weddings, as you see in the text, were held at night, and servants were expected to be ready, alert, and prepared for the presence of the bridegroom to take him to the bride. When you do a research of this text, you will find that these 10 virgins are, in essence, women who have been called to serve as bridesmaids to a wedding. Back in biblical times, bridesmaids were not necessarily friends or relatives. They were actually domestic workers who catered to the bride's every need during the wedding. Part of this duty was to light the path for the bridegroom to get to the bride. I'm gonna say that again. Bridesmaids weren't necessarily friends or relatives. They were actually domestic workers who catered to the bride's every need during the wedding. Part of this duty was to light the path for the bridegroom to get to the bride. Y'all looking at me like, well, what they got to do with us? We are bridesmaids as servants of God to light the path for the bridegroom to his bride. What do I mean? Male and female, we are servants to Christ, who is the bridegroom, to light the path to the bride, which is his church. And the church isn't a building. The church is his people.
Right.
We are called to watch this serve in a domestic capacity in every area that God has gifted us in our service to the church, to light the path to the church. And when I was reading how they come together and light the path, you got to understand the celebration of a Jewish wedding was a communal event. That's me in the spirit. It was a communal event. So although the bridesmaids were in charge of lighting the path, there were people in the community outside of the path celebrating the bridegroom going to the bride. And what you gotta understand in the spiritual, as bridesmaids, as those who are called to light the path to bring Christ to the church, and there are people in our community that are watching as we are celebrating the union of God and people. And if you know anything about community, when they see a celebration going on, they start asking questions. This is why, as a people, we got to be prepared. Because I just got to imagine that as they're going to the wedding, somebody's asking, well, who's getting married? Well, how long they been together? Well, you know, how what was their process? And somebody, you know, because you got some of us, will answer the questions. We have to be the bridesmaid that's willing to light the path so that the people can find the bridegroom, the people can find Christ, the people can come into unity with Christ, the people. We got to be the ones to light the path. Some of us are so busy doing everything else instead of lighting the path. We are so consumed with our own issues and our own problems that we are not prepared to be the servants God has called us to be. We have more questions. We ask more questions when we should be providing the answers. Why? Because when you're a bridesmaid, there are set times when you sit down and have conversations with the bridegroom.
Right.
Let me not get ahead of my message.
Come, wow.
Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Are you sleeping in this season?
What? Jesus.
Are you slumbering?
My God.
Slumbering means you're not off. Help me, Holy Ghost.
Help us, Jesus.
Some of us, I don't know why God is giving this to me, but when you suffer with diabetes and your sugar get too high, right, you begin to get sleepy and you're not off. And so it doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. It doesn't have any respect for who you are or what you're doing. But when your sugar is too high, when you're too full of stuff that you consume, that you knew you weren't supposed to consume in the first place, when you get too full and are consumed and your sugar spikes, your body has a natural reaction and it nods off, causing you to feel sleepy, causing you to not be able to perform the duties you are currently tasked to do. Church, when we are too full of stuff that we've allowed into our lives that God did not intend us to have access to, we get into a slumbering state and we don't even realize that we are no longer performing the task that God has called us to, because in the spirit, we nod it off. The enemy presents some things to us that look good and it tastes good and it feels good and it seems good. And it's not until after, thank you, Holy Spirit, it's not until after we are consumed with the things that he's presenting that we realize that we are nodding off. We're nodding off in depression. We're nodding off in anxiety. We're nodding off in the wrong relationships. We're nodding off in addictions. We're nodding off in our own will. We're nodding off by his attacks. We're nodding off in some things. So much so that when the bridegroom comes, when Christ shows up in our life, we are not even able to understand or to perceive that he is present and that he is ready to do some things, because we're too sleepy in the spirit, because we got distracted and we got overwhelmed. And God is saying in this season, I am coming to wake you up, because the bridegroom is coming. I am coming to wake you up, because there are some things you got to do in this season in order for my full metaphor, the full glory and manifestation of my will to come. God is coming to wake us up, because we are slumbering and sleeping. The lamps in this text or torches were like short wooden stems held in a hand with a dish at the top, and which held a piece of cloth that was dipped in oil or pitch. The oil isn't something that the wives possessed themselves. It was something, it was a resource that was given unto them. It was a resource that they had to seek after in order to have it on hand when it was necessary. I'm going to say that again. The oil was something they had to seek after. And once they reached the particular cellar that had the oil that they needed, they made sure that they had enough for the season, for the task at hand. I need somebody to know the oil is just not going to show up in your life. The oil of God, the anointing of God, is not just going to come dripping. The oil of God is something you have to seek after. You have to seek the heart of God in order for God to give you his oil. You have to seek after the face of God. You have to go to the one who is the resource, who provides the he is the source of the resource that you need. You are not responsible for the dispensation of the oil in your life, but you are responsible for receiving and maintaining it. They were not responsible for the dispensation, but they had to make sure they had enough for the journey. They had to make sure that they didn't tip the plate over for the oil to spill out. They had to make sure that they were maintaining what they were entrusted with. And I need somebody to know, God has entrusted you with the dispensation of the oil he has given you, but you got to make sure that you are acting responsibly when you receive it and maintain it. That means you can't lay with everybody. That means you can't talk with everybody. That means you can't go everywhere you want to go. That means you can't let your flesh get you confused and doing stuff you ain't got no business doing. That means you can't do what seems right, but it ain't righteous. That means that you got to seek the Lord for yourself. That means you got to seek the word for yourself. That means you got to bow down in his presence. That means you have to fast and kill all some things in your flesh. That means you have to consecrate yourself unto the Lord. You got to be responsible. how to be responsible with the oil. Thank you, Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago, we had, thank you, Holy Spirit. A couple weeks ago, we had problems with our cars. And we didn't understand what was going on. Now, I don't know if this is what the Lord is. Maybe this is what he gave me right now. But there was a crack in the pan. Because we allowed some things to go unserviced for so long.
Whoa.
We had the warning, but we thought we had one time.
My God.
Still talking about.
The triggers were there. But we thought we had more time.
Jesus.
So we kept ignoring the signs and operating as usual. Unaware that because of the crack in the pan, the oil was dripping out and it was wasting. Dripped out so much, so one day we went to go move the car and it wouldn't even move. Like, what in the world? We just worked on this thing.
Right.
And now this thing ain't working. And the mechanic said, well, when's the last time you did a full overhaul and really paid attention to the full aspect of your car?
Uh-oh.
And I don't know why God has given me in this season, but some of us are complaining and crying and asking God, how come this isn't moving? How come this isn't working? And he said, well, when's the last time you did a full overhaul of who you are? You worked on this piece because it was most comfortable for you. But when I gave you urgings and warnings over here, you tried to ignore it because it was too costly for you. You didn't want to have to give them up. You didn't want to have to stop doing some things. You didn't want to have to change what I told you to change. So instead of listening to the warning, you tried to ignore me. Not understanding the more you ignore, the bigger your crack came. And the bigger the crack in your life came, the more your oil spilled out. So now when you come into my presence, you're like, God, I don't feel your power. I don't feel the passion. And you haven't even understood that the oil has been dripping out of your life. So much so now that you are depleted and you asking me why. And God, I don't know who this is for, but God is saying, go back and do another overhaul. Go back and check the cracks in your life. Go back and see how much oil you still got left. I gave you an assignment, and you're not even able to fulfill the assignment because your oil has leaked out all over the place because you weren't paying enough attention.
Yeah.
And I really think that's a word for the Universal Church.
Yeah.
We keep asking, God, if all of us are praying, why COVID's still here? God, if all of us are playing, why our community's getting worse? Why are there more deaths in our school? Why are there more school shootings? Why is all this stuff happening? Yes, I get that some of these things are signs of the times, and some of these things are supposed to come, but I just got to believe in my spirit that if God gave his church the power, how come the power ain't working? And it's because too many of us have had cracks in our lives, and the oil has spilled out. Now, we have been so busy trying to be cute, trying to, you know, further our own agenda that we haven't realized we lost some of the oil. That ain't even part of my message, but thank you, Lord.
Yes, it was.
Well, that ain't what I wrote. That's part of his message. Hallelujah, Lord. And know that as I'm preaching internally, I'm saying my own ouches. Amen. So don't feel bad. My toes hurt right now, too. But don't get caught off guard now when you're called to be prepared. You are called to carry the oil for the path of the bridegroom. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Some people can't find Christ. The communal people, as we keep serving the Lord as his church, the communal people can't find the Lord because our lamps are out. And so instead of being the light, we're giving them more of the same of what they already have.
Wow.
And so we are standing in the path of righteousness, between the bridegroom and the church. But because some of the path is dark, they can't find their way to the celebration master class.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus.
Yeah. Mm.
You don't get to not be prepared because God didn't come through when you thought he was going to come through.
Wow.
The bridegroom didn't come when they expected him, but they still had to be prepared for his coming. You don't get to tell God, I'll pick up this and do it later because I'm still waiting for you to show up over here. That's not how it works. You got to pick up and be prepared, because what do? You'll be like the foolish virgins when he finally shows up, scrambling, trying to get stuff together. And when he comes, he's ready to go. I'm trying not to get ahead of my message. When you keep reading the text, the bridegroom was like, y'all ready? We out. Let's go. And they left. The foolish virgins are back in the market now trying to get the oil. It's too late. When he shows up, it's too late. When he shows up in the second coming, it's going to be too late to give your heart to him. But when he shows up now calling you into purpose, you can't go and get what he's giving you time to prepare or already have. It's going to be too late. Some of us are wondering why our purpose isn't being manifested. We know the vision. We got the vision. We got the resources. It still ain't working. He's like, because I showed up and you wasn't ready, so I left. Now, thanks be unto God. We got the grace that he'll come back for us now. That's what I love about Christ.
Because
when he gives us a purpose and he gives us an assignment, we're like Jonah. When we are unprepared and when we run, he gives us the opportunity. Some of us don't like some of the fishes that we find ourselves in, but he comes back and he gives us the opportunity. So praise be unto God. While we still got breath in our body, God may grace us to come back to get us. But sometimes it's too late. Help me, Jesus. All right. My second point is this. Productive preparation requires progressing and pruning. Productive preparation requires progressing and pruning. Verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, nah, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. In this season, a cry is going to be released in the land to prepare the way for the bridegroom.
Wow.
Will you be in proper position to receive him? Will you be found ready to play your part in the union between God and his church? It says, and at midnight a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Go out to meet him. Not only were these 10 virgins supposed to be prepared for his coming, not only were they expected to prepare for his presence, they were also expected to rise up and meet him. When the cry was given, although they were sleeping and slumbering, when the cry was given, they had an immediate reaction to get up and go meet him. Watch, they had a responsibility to know where the bridegroom was going to be and meet him there. They were not called to sit and wait for him to fully come to them. And some of us sit in our seats of complacency, waiting for Jesus to come fully to where we are. He has commanded us to meet him where he is, So many of us ask God to bless what we're doing over here. God, I want this business. God, I want this ministry. God, I want this relationship. God, I need this. I'm over here. And Jesus is like, look, I know where you are, but if you had enough communication with me, you would understand to meet me where I told you I was going to be. Some of us are out of position because we expect God to do all the work. No, when you are prepared, not only are you prepared with the right resources, but you are prepared to follow the instructions. Again, what you got to understand is they had to have enough communication with him to not only receive directions on where to meet him, but they have to follow the directions. That's why prayer is necessary. That's why communing with God and meditating in his presence and consecrating and fasting, that's why these things are necessary. They aren't religious acts for us to follow. They're relationship tools that keep us in alignment with the one who has a heart. They had to meet him halfway. Some of us, again, want God to manifest where we are, but we won't move our feet. We get mad at God. You said you was going to do this. Yeah, but I said I was going to do this over here. You still over there.
Wow.
Mind you, I gave you the resources and tools for you to find me, to get to me, to even light the path so you wouldn't be scared in the dark to get to where I am. But yet, instead of moving, you still sitting there.
Yes.
The cry went out and they got up to meet him. But only five were prepared to go the journey. And I, Lord help me. I didn't tell about nobody, but you might be like, I got up. I'm ready. Just let me hit the market real quick. And go get this oil. You ain't ready. Because the command was to have the oil and the lamps ready so whenever he showed up, you would be ready to go. We got to get out of this mind frame of, I'm getting there. I'm going to get there.
Mm-hmm.
God, I know what you told me to do, but I'm not there yet. I'm going to get there, though. Who are you to tell God,
wow,
I will get there?
Woo.
When he told you to already be there.
Right.
Okay, we'll leave us alone. This is a hard word, Jesus.
Yeah.
They got up because they heard the cry. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you sensitive enough in this season to hear the cry? To respond? Or are you distracted by all the other noise going on? We all do so much as a country, but we cannot afford to let the noise of the problems of this world and the circumstances and COVID and the government and our kids and our problems and our issues to cause us to have a deafening ear that we can't hear the cry of the Spirit.
Amen.
There is a cry in the Spirit that God is warning us.
Get ready
now.
My God.
I've already given you all of the tools. I've already given you everything that was necessary. Yeah, I know you sick, still get ready. Yeah, I know you don't know where your next meal is coming from, but I said get ready. Yes, I know you worried about the job, but I told you to get ready for me because I am coming back, and I am coming back. Well, look, he is coming back. But right now, we're prepared. We're supposed to be preparing to light the way. Because what do you do when the community is lost because you ain't like the path? We talk about the community. We talk about the murders. We talk about the addicts. We talk about this generation that don't listen to nothing we say. We talk about a whole lot of stuff. But what are we preparing to do to bring the community to the bridegroom, to light the way for them? Yeah, we know everybody ain't gonna listen. You still gotta light the way. We know everybody ain't gonna come, but you still gotta light the way. We know even some people gonna turn a deaf ear, you still got light the way. We know they still gonna kill each other, but you still gotta light the way. They may still shoot up, but you still gotta light the way. You can't let what they're doing deter you from lighting the way. They can't get ready if we are not ready. They can't get to Christ if we are not lighting the way. God just has me drilling that this morning. I don't know why. But we got to get back to light the way. Listen, it says they had to rise up. Somebody in this day, somebody in this season, you've been stuck in that position unprepared long enough. Rise up. Rise up and meet God where he told you you were supposed to be. Rise up and meet God and do the assignment he placed on your life. Rise up in this season and give the word he told you to give. Rise up and lay hands on the one he told you to lay hands on. Rise up and be an encouragement to the one he told you to be an encouragement. Rise up and be the parent he told you to be. Rise up and be the spouse he told you to be. Rise up and be the brother or sister he told you to be. Rise up and be God where he is working. Stop waiting or waving your hand and saying, Jesus, I'm back here. Can you come bless this? Can you come do this? Can you come move them? God is like, meet me where I told you to meet me. So they got up and they turned their lamps. Lord help. Trimming the lamps was done by taking a scissor or a tool and cutting the wick in a straight fashion. That enabled the wick to shine bright. It was the removal of the excess of what appeared to be needed and good to make way for the best. Let me say that again. Cutting the wick or trimming the wick was getting rid of the excess of the wick. And although it was good, it wasn't what was best. And this season is time to cut some things straight off. Stop beating around the bush. Stop trying to sugarcoat stuff. Stop trying to give people extra chances, chance after chance. Stop giving yourself chance after chance. There's some things in your flesh you got to cut straight off. Ain't no time. You ain't got no time to wait. You can't beat around a bush. You can't. The expiration date has arrived. Cut it off. It may even seem good, but it ain't God's best. Cut it off. It may appear that it's going to lead to something that's good, but it's not God's best. Cut it off. It's not needed in this season. Cut it off. They have to cut off the extra pieces of the wick in order for them to pull a lamp to shine bright the way it was caused. Some of us are shining, but we're dull because we refuse to cut some stuff off. There's too much excess. Some of us are carrying things in our spirit that's causing us to be dull. Cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. Cut it off. Verse 8, in this season, don't think you can avoid doing the work and riding the coattails of others' preparation. The foolish wives, the foolish virgins, was like, hey, give us some of what you got. Nope. No. You have the same time and the same instructions and the same opportunities to prepare for the coming of the bridegroom. But some of us act like the foolish wives, the foolish virgins. We think that's my good brother, that's my sister. Oh, she said, when she go up, I'm going to go up. Yeah, but if you're trying to go up with her, you need to be preparing with her the same way. She got instructions, although it may be different for you, you still got your own set of instructions. Follow the instructions you were given. Stop trying to ride the coattails of others' preparation.
Wow. Jesus. Yes, yes.
You can't avoid doing the work just because you're surrounded with people that got access to the oil.
Wow. Woo.
Jesus.
Don't you want to get me in trouble? You can't avoid bowing your face in his presence because you know your good girlfriend or your friend can get a prayer through. Stop calling them asking you pray. Pray for yourself sometimes. God, open this door. You ain't doing enough work for me to open the door. I'm going to open the door, then what? You still want to sit there? Stuck in the mud. Stuck in quicksand.
Jesus.
You can't avoid doing the work. And don't be fooled. Ooh, thank you, Holy Spirit. The Lord knows.
Right, sure do.
The Lord knows when you try to be a copycat.
Oh my God.
When you try to take what somebody already prepared and what they already worked and what they already poured out of their soul to do. God knows when you go and you try to make another template of what somebody else created.
Jesus.
You ain't called to be a copycat. You ain't called to dip in somebody else's lamp and take their oil. Do your own work for the disposition of your own oil. Because you don't know. You know, we always say you don't know the cost, but I hear in the Holy Spirit right now, and I can only, he's giving it to me in relation to regular gas. You don't know the octane that they carry.
Ooh, oh my God. Oh my God. Come on.
Different types. What you tell me yesterday, Isha, I promise you this is the Lord, because I wasn't even thinking about this. Different types of gas contain different types of octane.
That's
what is it?
Higher.
It is, what is it? Regular?
Regular, premium
and plus.
And then super. And they all perform differently.
So, and I'm not picking on y'all, I promise. Jesus. I'm not. I'm just
my
just
God.
Me. But if you are anointed to carry regular oil, with the octane that has, he's been anointed to carry supreme or super.
Come on.
And you run out because you were busy living your life and not preparing. And while his head is turned, you decide, I'm going to just dip my cloth in his oil. And you try to put it in your fire. But you weren't preparing. You weren't anointed to carry that type of octane.
Oh,
your life will combust because you weren't gifted to carry the oil that was meant for his life. And some of us, thank you, Holy Spirit, some things are combusting and failing and falling to pieces in our lives because instead of doing the work of carrying the oil he gave us, we wanted to be lazy and like today's cool and procrastinate and not pay attention to our lives that was cracking so much so that we lost our oil. We tried to dip our lives in somebody else's oil and we weren't anointed to carry that high level of octane.
Yes.
You ain't ready for them levels. Jesus.
Be careful with giving others access to your oil.
Right.
Jesus.
Because not only can they not carry it, if you give it to them, you might wind up depleted and not have enough of what you were obedient to do and to carry in an effort to cover them. Sometimes we give too much because we love and want to cover and want to carry and want to give, and you don't even realize you gave so much, you gave it away, and now you ain't got nothing for you. The wise women were like, nah, you got to go get your own joint. You got to go find them sellers. Who knows how far they had to go? We don't know the distance between the place of preparation and the cellar that they had to go back. And some of us are missing out because it takes us too long to go back to where we should have been prepared when the bridegroom was here. You got to stay your ground in the season and protect what God has given you. So that when he comes calling, you are not found unprepared. I'm not gonna say I'm almost through because that'd be a lot. I'm trying. What I learned, what I was thinking about this, I was like, okay, God, something will off to me. Because I understand that the wise virgins have enough oil. But what's confusing me is we don't know how long the delay was. Look at the text. It says the bridegroom was delayed. How long was the delay? How did you know it would have taken that long for him to get to you. We don't know if he was supposed to come in 2 hours and instead he came in 4. We don't know if he was supposed to come in 4 hours and he came in 6. We don't know if he was supposed to come in 6 hours and he came in 8. They didn't know, they had no idea just how long the delay was, yet they were still prepared. And I need somebody to understand, it don't matter how long the delay is, still be prepared. It doesn't matter how long it takes God to answer you, still be prepared for your assignment. His arrival, thank you,
yes,
Jesus.
God.
Your assignment, your ability, and your responsibility to fulfill the assignment is not predicated upon his arrival to what you need.
Yep,
God. It's not predicated. Stop saying, God, when you do this, I'm going to do this. He's still standing there asking you, no, but I already told you what to do. It don't matter how long it takes me to come. If you don't do what I told you to do now, you ain't going to be ready for me when I come anyhow. Do the work. Do the work. Do the work. He's already given you the oil. Do the work. Some of us are missing out because we haven't maintained the oil. Do the work. I got it. Do the work. They have more than enough oil. Do you got more than enough oil? Or do you allow the pressures of your life to press the oil out of you with your complaining? Let me go. Let me go. Holy Spirit. Okay. Let me get to my last point. Don't let the foolishness of your flesh disconnect you from your destiny.
Jesus. My God, my God.
You know, before we got here, I was excited to preach this word. Now that my feet hurt, my head hurt. I got whipped so many times up here right along with y'all. Don't let the foolishness of your flesh disconnect you from your destiny. Watch this. All 10 were destined to go with the bridegroom. But because of their arrogance, their reluctance to do the work, and their ignorance to tap into the resources given to them, they were left out of the celebration.
Wow.
Yeah. Can't come.
The 5 foolish women were left out of the celebration. It says, while they went to go get what they were supposed to already have, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. The 5 virgins, the wise ones, were prepared and they lit the way to the bride and they were welcomed in. Yet the other 5 who also waited, who also had an expectation, they weren't even recognized. The door was shut and they came knocking to the door and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he said, surely, I don't know you. I don't know you. Because you are in position and you are prepared to receive me when I came to get you. Don't find yourself in a position when you hear the Lord knocking at the corridors of your heart for salvation. When you hear the Lord knocking on the corridors of your heart to change your life. When you hear the Lord knocking on the corners of your heart to call you to a place of repentance, that you are so unprepared to receive him that when he stops knocking and closes the door, you find yourself outside of the will of God. Some of us, God has been knocking. Get out of that relationship. I'm getting to it. Get out of that job. That's not what I told you to go. I'm getting to it. That is the purpose I called you to stop doing. I'm getting to it. Stop playing the church and really be holy. I'm going to get to it. I like this a little too much, huh? I decided, God, that I'd rather be here because I think I got time that you're ready to do what you called me to do. You don't have time. I don't know what God is doing in this season. All I know is in this moment, he's telling me, we don't have time to keep wasting saying, I'm going to get there. God is saying, expeditiously get there now.
Right.
You already have the tools and the resources to be where he has planted you, to light the path that he has put you on, to do the work that he has called you to do in this season.
Yeah.
It says the wise virgins were accepted and they shut the door. Some of us are on the wrong side of the door this morning because we weren't prepared. All 10 were dressed and looked the part. They were dressed in their bridesmaids' attire, ready to serve. They were ready in outward appearance, but inwardly, only 5 really had the right motives.
Wow.
Only the 5 wise virgins, thank you, Holy Spirit, had the actual motives of being true servants. The other 5 were just there to look the part.
Yep.
In this season, don't be like the 5 foolish virgins looking the part, but don't really have the motive to serve the Lord. Because God is saying, in this season, you may look the same to everybody else, but I know what you're really prepared for. You may be dressed up real cute. You may have your Sunday's best on. You may speak in tongues. You may have a good praise. You may know how to hold, raise up holy hands. You may know how to shout the heavens down. You may know how to do all the things that the people think is holy, that the people think righteous, that the people count as having church. But I know the oil that you carry. I know the preparation you actually put in. I know whether or not you were able to do. I know whether or not you're really ready to be the servant that I called you to be. It doesn't matter what they think you look like. I'm looking at the oil. I'm looking at the preparation. I'm looking at the obedience. Because the truth be told, they were not obedient. But they looked the part. And God is saying in this season, I'm not looking for those that look the part. I'm looking for those that are actually prepared. In this season, don't get caught up with the appearance of being a vessel and not the preparation of being a vessel. Don't be caught up with the appearance of being a vessel and not the preparation of being a vessel. God don't care what you look like. God don't care how other people think your life is in order. God wants to know, are you obedient to me in this season because the bridegroom is coming? God wants to know, are you willing to cut some things straight off because the bridegroom is coming? God wants to know, are you willing to live the life he called you to be, even though some other people will walk away, because the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming to heal us. The bridegroom is coming to deliver us. The bridegroom is coming to change some things in this earth realm. The bridegroom is coming to use those wise people that are really here to serve them. The bridegroom is coming. Hallelujah. I'm closing. The bridegroom is coming. Hallelujah. To turn something around in this earth realm. The bridegroom is coming. And God is saying, are you ready to be a real servant? Are you ready to come into the celebration with me? Are you ready to be used the way I called you to use? Do you have your oil ready? Are you dressed with the heart of preparation? Are you ready to be obedient to the call? Are you ready to carry out your assignment? Are you ready to be obedient to the instructions I gave you? Are you ready to be the servant that I call? Are you ready to light the path? Are you ready to rise up against your distractions, against your issues, against your problems, against the issues of the world? Are you ready to rise up and be you? Because the bridegroom is coming, and the bridegroom is coming to use us, to help the community to get to the place in him that they need to be. But soon, and very soon, the bridegroom is going to come back for those that he loved. The bridegroom is coming. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? And if you're not ready, God is saying, he loves us so much so that he's given us the grace in this moment to understand which category we fall in. And let me help somebody. Sometimes you can be wise in one area and a fool in another. But when you ask God for revelation and when you surrender, he'll give you the wisdom to come out of those foolish things so that you can operate in the fullness of who he is, in the fullness of his power, in the fullness of his grace, in the fullness of his wisdom, in the fullness of his knowledge, because the bridegroom is coming. The bridegroom is coming for his people. He's coming for us now to cleanse us up. The bridegroom is coming. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The bridegroom is coming even to help us to prepare to be the servants, to carry the oil, to fulfill the assignments, to rise up out of some things. Some of us, we can't get out of some things until we give our hand to the bridegroom and allow him to pull us up. The bridegroom is coming. And whoever you are, wherever you are, you may be saying, God, I realize I've been foolish. I've been making bargains. I've been waiting for you to come to me. You've already extended the invitation for me to come to you. Here I come, Lord. With your hands lifted up, even right now, if Holy Spirit has given you that revelation, God is saying, like the father of the prodigal son, come on back home. You may have fell astray. You may have been wavered. You may have been comfortable in the things of your flesh. But come on home so I can make you wise. Come on home so I can clean you up. Come on home so I can put you on the right path. Come on home so I can fill your oil. The bridegroom is coming. And he's coming to heal. Hallelujah. The bridegroom is coming. And he's coming to deliver. The bridegroom is coming. Hallelujah. The bridegroom is coming. Don't let ignorance or pride or shame or your flesh cause you to miss out on the destiny of the journey, the process that he has for you. Ask Holy Spirit even now, help me prepare for the presence of the bridegroom. Help me not to be consumed with this delay or how long I haven't received the answers. Not help me to stick to being focused on completing the assignment, because I want to be ready for the bridegroom.